This is Moment of Hope, brought to you by the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. I'm your host, Nigel Wilkinson. With me today is co-host Dr. Margaret Barnett, Vice President of the Jamaica Theological Seminary. Margaret, what's our focus for today?
Good morning, Nigel. Welcome to Moment of Hope, and good morning, listeners. As we step into this new year, many of us find ourselves reflecting on the year gone by, setting resolutions, and thinking about the changes we want to make. It's a time for fresh starts, new goals, and the promise of new beginnings. But what if we told you that New Year's resolutions are only the beginning? Today, on Moment of Hope, we're going to explore a deeper, more meaningful approach to the new year, one that goes beyond resolutions and into the realm of intentions, growth, and purpose. In today's conversation, we'll reflect on the power of setting intentions, a mindful, heart-centered approach to the year ahead. It's about being intentional in our actions, making space for growth, and creating a vision for our lives that goes beyond mere goal setting. This morning, we have none other than Reverend Omar Morrison, pastor of First Missionary Church in downtown Kingston, Jamaica. He is a graduate of the Jamaica Theological Seminary and the Caribbean Graduate School of Theology. He's an executive member of the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica and the Jamaica Evangelical Alliance. He also serves as a director of the National Religious Media Commission. Reverend Omar is supported in ministry by his wife, Maria, and teenage daughter, Hannah Marie. He will share with us his thoughts as we explore what it means to go beyond resolutions. Welcome to Moment of Hope, Rev. How are you today?
Thank you so much, Margaret. I'm very well. It's wonderful to be with you today and also your wonderful listeners.
I don't believe you're different from those of us who are setting resolutions. Have you set any resolutions yet?
I haven't really set resolutions. I have more intentions that I've fine-tuned into goals.
Good. Thank you. So you're just the right person for the conversation this morning. Tell our listeners, what's the difference between setting resolutions and setting intentions? Is there a difference?
Of course there is. But even before I say that, it's important to establish that God has intended life to be a great adventure. And for life to really be a great adventure, there should be planning, but also meaningful accomplishments along the way. And so resolution is about, you know, having a goal. You know, it's a specific intended action with little or no wiggle room, where, for example, intentions has to do with a kind of practice that, you know, has to do with you, you know, carrying out certain intention or an idea or a concept, something you aim for. It's a little bit more general. It's a little bit more less focused on the future, but more so in the moment. For example, let me concretize it with an example. If we think about, for example, somebody wanting to lose weight, if you have a resolution, you might say, I would like to lose 20 pounds in the next 3 months. That's a resolution. An intention may be framed like this. I would love to respect and value my body and appreciate what my body is. So that's a little bit more less specific, but it is far more easier and gracious on yourself because we are prone to failure. You know, and it's important that we recognize, for example, that intentions, you know, take us to a focus on the moment, while goal is more broad-based, futuristic, and less wiggle room. And so we actually need both, but in a real sense, I think that we will do better in terms of being gracious to ourselves and understanding the framework within which we work if we have more intentions than we actually have resolutions.
I love the idea of talking about our core values and how do our core values align with our goals. Help our listeners as we are going to try not to set the resolutions, but to be intentional. How do the core values we have align with our goals in the goal setting?
Thank you for the question, Margaret. A lot of people actually do not like to drive a flat bridge. That's because there's no guardrails. And so they feel unsafe. Now, if you think about that, values are like guardrails to our life. Let me ask you, would you go back to a mechanic that you went to only to discover when you open the hood of your vehicle that you find tools left there? That happened to me and I decided I would never go back. And so when we think about aligning our values to our goals, that's what we're talking about. That is not just about doing something or seeking to achieve some kind of goal, but what are the values that we take with us or that should be aligned to the particular goal or intentions we hope to achieve?
What can we do differently to ensure that our intentions lead to lasting change rather than quick burnout?
Again, that's quite critical. I think that we need to do our best to make sure that we understand what it is we're up against. Some people do not value the importance of small steps. And I would say that that's important. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one footstep. Some people also burn out because they fail to break the goal into smaller, manageable pieces. I think, too, that some people fail to ask persons they trust to hold them accountable. The truth is we really need cheerleaders and encouragers along the journey of life.
How does mindfulness help us to move towards our personal growth?
I suppose we're proceeding on the basis that people understand what mindfulness is. Let's at least establish that. Mindfulness is about paying attention on purpose in the present moment. It's about being non-judgmental. And when we talk about mindfulness, it is so important because there are so many people who either live in the past or live in the future. Mindfulness challenges us to live in the present. Because the truth is, if you live in the past, you'll be dragged down by your past failures. But if you live in the future, you'll also be burdened down or even stressed out by your anxiety. It's very important to live in the moment. It's about having a conversation and listening to what the person is saying rather than thinking how you're going to respond. That's what we're talking about in terms of mindfulness. So when you take that kind of approach to planning and the intentions that you have, you are dealing with what is in the present. You are dealing with the realities that you have right now rather than even fantasizing about the future.
Thank you, Rev. Thank you so much. As a leader, do you personally live out the concept of beyond resolutions in your life and ministry?
Definitely. If I didn't, I can't survive. I can tell you that. I keep in mind a couple of things that, you know, it's important to lead people and manage systems and not to confuse that. If you try to manage people, you're only heading for serious headaches. I keep in mind, for example, that it's more important to care for people than to recklessly pursue organizational goals. You know, many of us as leaders are very goal-driven or goal-oriented, but we can't achieve our goals at all costs. Sometimes you have to literally make an intentional decision to care for persons you're working with rather than even achieving certain organizational goals. I think it's important to remember that life happens. So we need to maintain some degree of flexibility because I do face limitations and I have to acknowledge that. And sometimes the challenge is not necessarily with others. It might be with me. So while I'm leading, I also have to acknowledge those limitations. I think, too, very often, you know, I call to mind the many funerals that I have either attended or participated in over my years of ministry. And I will tell you this, that people in those eulogies and those tributes, they emphasize character qualities over accomplishments and you know, not how much money the person had, but how kind they were with what they had. And I bring those things to mind to help me in the way I approach my own leadership.
Rev, we're going to ask you now to tell us a little about our denomination, the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica. When you think about the theme beyond resolutions, what does that mean for the denomination's long-term vision?
You know, we as a strong local denomination, very involved in the life of the nation, among other things, we continue to self-reflect. And only recently, one of the things we did was to do some more work on our sense of vision and legacy. And we settled on 7 very important core values. And this is being promulgated right throughout our denomination. So, for example, we have, you know, encouraged our people to pursue holiness, unconditional love, service, integrity, forgiveness, unity, and excellence. These are our all core values that we're encouraging those who come under our influence to make sure that they pay attention to, they subscribe to, and that they make it a part of their lives. And we believe that this is very, very important, because whatever you do, if you take these values, core values, to bring to bear on what you do, it will mean absolute transformation for our society, one step at a time.
How can churches be more intentional about leaving a legacy of faith that goes beyond yearly resolutions?
It's important for churches to recognize, first of all, that the church is the only institution that has been given the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are to be vanguards of and proclaimers of. So, you know, we are not called to, you know, provide employment services, social services, even to be social reformers or political advisors. You know, we're not called to be all things to all men. As church, our raison d'etre, our reason for being is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think we have to come back to the place where we acknowledge to ourselves that this is our most important work. And to put it another way too, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, he says that his desire was for people to be formed in the image of Christ. And I think that's absolutely critical for the focus of the church. Whatever else we get ourselves into, we must be deeply committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and deeply committed to the personal transformation of persons into the very image of Christ.
As we prepare the next generation to take over from us, how are we ensuring that they continue the work of going beyond resolutions and living out their faith?
I think there's a number of things that we can do as church and need to continue to do. For example, the importance and fundamental nature of Sunday school ministry that cannot be overemphasized. There are a number of churches that operate early childhood institutions such as ours, and we have to bring to bear not just the overt curriculum, but the hidden curriculum that is laced with biblical values. And we have to demonstrate those. I think, too, we have to recommit ourselves to things like leadership training, that we have to involve more and more young people in online ministries in our churches. We have to expose more and more young people to missions and evangelism, even short-term missions overseas. I think that things like summer camp ministries are things that we will have to do more and more of to, you know, extend and exert the influence of the church on more and more young people.
Can I ask you to talk to us a little about artificial intelligence? Does it have any place in ministry, in the church?
You know, Margaret, that's a very crucial question, but I will tell you this. Even though I'm interested in and I'm concerned about artificial intelligence, I'm more concerned about natural intelligence. Mm. The truth is, the smartphone is making smart people more dumber by the minute. And that is also true of people in the church. First of all, I want to caution us for dispensing our natural intelligence for artificial intelligence. I'll give you a quick scenario. I was heading to the western side of the island not too long ago. And I said I would, you know, just test out my smartphone in the use of GPS. And even though I knew the way, my GPS directed me somewhere else. And I took the road thinking that I knew exactly where to go, only to discover that I completely placed blind trust in my GPS and ended up somewhere else. Artificial intelligence is good, just like every aspect of technology. I think it's important for us to recognize that as church, we will definitely have to look back at how it is we can integrate the best of artificial technology in the ministries of the church. Because the truth is, we are ministering in a different environment, especially in this post-pandemic environment. And so we have to be open to the best of technology, including AI, but also recognize its inherent dangers that we have to help our people to navigate and also make sure that we ourselves are not becoming subservient to technology and all that those who are behind the design of many of these things. Sometimes their design will ulterior motive that does not align with the best of what the church stands for. And we have to be acknowledging that.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for that warning. What is your vision for the denomination? I know you sit on the executive.
Well, you know, there are a number of things that the denomination has done and continues to do. And I would like to say, for example, you know, we as a denomination, we continue to do many, many things to help persons. I think one of the things we have, you know, been very serious about is helping in the preparation of well-adjusted, mature, Christ-honoring, even patriotic citizens, you know, through our spread of 43 churches across the island, many of whom are civil servants. You know, there are some people who serve as prison warders, probation officers, counselors, teachers. I mean, people from every strata of society. And one of the things we really pride ourselves on is saying to our people, the best thing you can do for our nation is to live out your Christian values. That is something we preach. That is something we demonstrate. So to be a Christian is something very serious. And I believe that we insist on a number of things. That means that we are really to be the conscience of our nation. We're not called to a life of convenience, but a life where the narrow road of obedience and the highway of holiness are extremely important to our focus.
I don't want to be controversial in this program, but we are years away from Vision 2030, where we want Jamaica to be a place where we can live, work, and do business. What is your vision for Jamaica, land we love?
Well, you know, it has already been established that we are not going to achieve Vision 2030. But, you know, I'd like to say that my vision for Jamaica is not dissimilar from our motto, our anthem, and our pledge. I think we definitely have to redouble our efforts at every level. But, you know, in addition to what has already been established, I definitely would like to see a kinder, gentler society, one that is less violent, you know, one that respects the rule of law, you know, one that is less corrupt, one that has more respect for women, one that offers more support for marginalized men. I certainly would like to see a Jamaica where everyone comes to know the true and living God and is serving the true and living God. I want to see a Jamaica where people are valued over money and production. I would like to see a Jamaica, you know, where we truly become our brother's keeper, and that God is honored in all things. I definitely would love to see that kind of Jamaica.
I agree with you. There's no place like Jamaica. And if God is not here, then we are going to be in serious troubles. Thank you so much, Reverend Morrison, for your very insightful conversation about intentions, moving beyond the resolutions. I'm going to ask you to pray for the nation.
Sure, let's pray. Eternal God, thank you so much for the fact that you who are Alpha and Omega, you have given to us the gift of time. We're on the cusp of a brand new year. Thank you that we do not need to fear the future because you are already there. We thank you for the many ways in which you have blessed our nation. Thank you for our people, those who represent the best of Jamaica with their hard work, their civility, their integrity, their admirable example. Thank you, Lord. Even for those who represent the worst of Jamaica, I pray that they will turn to you and turn from a life that's dominated by evil, selfishness, greed, corrupt practices, and even pleasure, and turn to you, merciful Father, who is mighty to save. Loving God, you alone are the one who gives abundant life. please help us not to pursue selfish living, but to pursue spiritual growth and personal development subjected to you. May our personal and collective efforts, even in our church, be in obedience to your word, so that we can be a kind and gentle society, one that we can all be proud of. Thank you, Father, for not only hearing our prayers, but blessing us and guiding us and protecting us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. As we bring this program of Moment of Hope beyond resolutions to a close, let us remember that lasting transformation is not about the resolutions we make, but the commitment to live out God's purpose for our lives each day. Proverbs 16 and 3 reminds us, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. When our goals and actions are rooted in him, they are guided by his wisdom and sustained by his strength. Galatians 6 and 9 encourages us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Beyond resolutions lies the daily choice to walk in faith, persevere in love, and trust God's perfect timing. As you reflect on today's discussion, ask yourself, how can I go beyond making promises to truly living out the principles of God's word in every area of my life? Thank you for tuning into Moment of Hope as we explore the topic Beyond Resolutions. Until next time, may the Lord guide your steps, bless your journey, and inspire you to live a life that glorifies him.
Before we go, the Missionary Church Association in Jamaica, Eastern Region, has been making and will continue to make visits to areas devastated by Hurricane Melissa. You are invited to partner with us as we turn compassion into action by donating relief supplies, giving financially, or by volunteering your services. You can email us at mcaj@the-mcaj.org, or you can call or text us at 876-791-0527. If you are in need of prayer, counseling, or further information, please call the Missionary Church Association's head office, or you can WhatsApp them at 876-791-0527. A reminder that regardless of what you encounter in life, there is hope, and there is power in prayer. Hebrews 11 verse 6 reminds us that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. And so we encourage you to pray by yourself or join with a family member or a friend, and let us pray, being mindful that God answers prayers. Do join us next week for another Moment of Hope.